Welcome to Radio Sefarad's English Corner. I'm your host, Linda Jimenez, bringing news and other features of Jewish interest to Radio Sefarad's English-speaking audience in Spain and around the world. Our trivia question for this week is, how is the Yiddish writer Shalom Aleichem remembered each year?
Since Passover is this week, I thought I'd read you a Passover story. This one is by Shalom Aleichem. But first I'll tell you a little bit about the writer. Shalom Aleichem is probably the best known and most well-loved Yiddish writer. He was born Shalom Naumovich Rabinovich in Russia in 1859. And throughout his relatively short career, he wrote novels, short stories, and plays. He also did a lot to promote Yiddish writers and was the first to write children's literature in Yiddish. While he was a Zionist, he was also an impassioned advocate of Yiddish as a national Jewish language. At first, Shalom Aleichem wrote in Russian and Hebrew, but from 1883 on, he produced over 40 volumes in Yiddish. And by 1890, he had become a central figure in Yiddish literature. He also used his personal fortune to encourage other Yiddish writers. In 1888 to 89, he put out two issues of an almanac, Die Yiddische Volksbibliothek, the Yiddish Popular Library, which gave important exposure to many young Yiddish writers. Shalom Aleichem was often referred to as the Jewish Mark Twain because of the two authors' similar writing styles and use of pen names. Both authors wrote for both children and adults and lectured extensively in Europe and the United States. When the two finally met late in life, however, Twain retorted that he was considered the American Shalom Aleichem. Shalom Aleichem died in New York on May 13, 1916, at the age of 57. At the time, his funeral was one of the largest in New York City history, with an estimated 100,000 mourners. The next day, his will was printed in the New York Times and was read into the Congressional Record of the United States. Among other things, the will contained detailed instructions as to how Shalom Aleichem wished to be commemorated and remembered on his annual Yahrzeit. He says to his friends and family, "Gather, read my will, and also select one of my stories, one of the very merry ones, and recite it in whatever language is most intelligible to you. Let my name be recalled with laughter," he adds, "or not at all." The gatherings are still held each year and are open to the public. Shalom Aleichem's memory has been honored in many parts of the world and in different ways. In recent years, monuments dedicated to him have been erected in Kiev and Moscow, and streets have been named for him in several cities in the former Soviet Union, including Birobidzhan and Zhytomyr. In 1996, East 33rd Street in New York City, between Park and Madison Avenues, was renamed Shalom Aleichem Place, and many streets in Israel are also named for him. An impact crater on the planet Mercury was named for him, and on March 2, 2009, on the 150th anniversary of his birth, the National Bank of Ukraine issued a commemorative coin with his face on it. And now to our story, The Dangerous Matzah, which is one of Shalom Aleichem's children's stories. I'd like to thank my mother, Rose Jimenez, for translating it for us. Once upon a time, there was a king. The king was very powerful and strong, but he didn't like Jews. So he often proclaimed evil decrees, just like the Pharaoh in Egypt. Once, it was Passover time, all the ministers of his Senate gathered to decide what kind of new evil decree they could issue against the Jews. A decree that the Jews could not sit everywhere, that already exists. Jews couldn't be officers, that already exists. Jewish children were not permitted to study in the high school, that already exists. So one minister thought he should speak up against matzah. So he issued the following declaration. When Passover comes, the Jews bake dry, round little cakes to last them 8 days, and they call these cakes matzah. Who knows what kind of delicacy these must be? It would only be right that they should be forbidden to eat matzah. The king thought this over and issued a command that someone should bring him a matzah. The ministers set forth throughout the main city to seek Jews, but they couldn't find any Jews. And when they did find a Jew and demanded a matzah from him for the king, he swore that he didn't eat matzah. The Jews understood that this must be a new evil decree against them. Finally, after much difficulty and effort, a Jew was found who was not afraid to say that he ate matzah. So they took a matzah from him and brought it to the Senate chamber for the king. When he saw the matzah, the king tasted it, and slowly, little by little, piece by piece, he ate it and ate it until it was gone. And after he finished it, the king felt ill. As time went on, he felt worse and worse. And since he felt really, really very sick, they brought in the best doctors and the greatest professors from throughout the land to help cure the king. They discovered that the king had something in his stomach that would be the death of him. So the oldest professor of them all, the one who had the most experience, put his ear to the king's stomach and began to listen. He heard someone singing there. So the learned man called out to the king, "Your Highness, if you will permit me, I should like to have a conversation with whatever is in your belly." The king responded, "Talk." So the professor called out to whatever was in the king's stomach, "Tell me, who are you?" The answer came, "I am a Jew." "What are you doing here?" asked the professor. "Nothing," came the response. "Perhaps you should leave?" asked the physician. "I don't want to," came the reply. "Why not?" demanded the doctor. "That is my affair," said the Jew in the stomach. "If you leave, you get a gift," coaxed the physician. "We know what kind of gifts you give," said the Jew. "They would deport me in 24 hours. "Why?" asked his interrogator. "Because I am a Jew and Jews dare not be here," he replied. "But what if we promise you that you may remain here?" the doctor said. "For myself, I don't care. I want all Jews to be able to remain here," came the answer. This discussion only increased the king's discomfort, since the Jew talked with his hands, feet, and all parts of his body, and the king felt his life was at an end. So he started to beg all the professors to end this incident, and quickly. So the greatest professor of them all, he had the most knowledge, called out to the one who was in the king's stomach, "The king promises you that you can remain here in this land as long as you wish." The retort came, "I told you already, I don't care about this for myself. I want all Jews to be able to be here." "Good," came the reply. "All Jews will be permitted, but hurry up and leave the king." "Who is saying this?" asked the Jew. "We are saying this. We are the doctors, but we speak the will of the king." "How do I know that?" queried the voice in the stomach. "I'm sure you heard what the king said," came the answer. "The king said, that is not enough. Now that his stomach hurts, that's what he says. Later, when he no longer has pain, he'll say something else, just like the Pharaoh in Egypt," said the Jew. "So what do you want?" asked the exasperated doctor. "I want him to sign his name to a decree, to write it down on paper and to have it enforced by the Senate." and the Jew in the king's stomach started to move his hands and feet so violently that the king could no longer endure the severe pains. So the king commanded that all the ministers be convened and that they write a new law that would supersede the king's old one that was restrictive on the Jews. And the new law would state that the Jews could live anywhere in the kingdom in freedom and forever. As soon as the Jew heard that, he escaped through the little finger of the king's left hand, bowed to the entire Senate, and disappeared. He was never heard from again. Well, we hope you liked our story and wish all our listeners and their families a happy Passover. And as always, we'd love to hear from you. So please email us any comments or suggestions or questions you'd like us to answer on the air. Our address is EnglishCorner@RadioSefarad.com. And in case you know some evil king and would like to try the matzah trick yourself, I'll leave you with Das Lied von Matzebacken, Song of Matzah Baking, by the Laurie Kahan Simon Ensemble from their CD, Songs My Bubba Should Have Taught Me, Volume 1, Passover. See you next week.
Menschen getreie, vernommene und freie, bei wem in sie nur Zeit voran. Geht eier Pratzi und elf Backen Matzi, dem neut bei der heftigen Mann. Geht eier Pratzi, elf Backen Matzi, dem neut bei der heftigen Mann. Hent alach ihr Kleine, edel und Scheine, Bich alach ihr Trogen nur kennt. Pruf nur wissen, ein Molinissen, dem Tampf um Azolis auf die Hand. Pruf nur wissen, ein Molinissen, dem Tampf um Azolis auf die Hand. Ihr gwirische Mädlach, Elf Knetten Teiglach mit Eier weiß in die Hand. Teiglach geknoten wie Gott hat geboten, koscher und erlach und fein. Teiglach geknoten wie Gott hat geboten, koscher und erlach und fein.